So to wrap things up, what are your plans for 2021 and beyond? What is Brandon Watley's goals? Where does Brandon Watley see himself?
If I don't get a contract this upcoming year, I'm just gonna just take over the Indies. It is what it is. I moved over here to Douglasville, Georgia, close right outside of Atlanta, so I could train at the Nightmare Factory. And the Nightmare Factory got some good trainers with QT Marshall, Glacier,
Are you
a
training
couple other
there? I don't know if
people.
you could tell me. Are you training there? Or is that just a plan to go
Yeah,
there?
yeah. No. I'm training there now. I moved here in July.
Oh, that's
And I
big
started
shit.
training there.
I knew you had
Yeah,
moved,
I
but I
moved
didn't know
here.
that that's what you were doing.
Yeah, that was the reason. I literally moved here strictly for that reason. And if I couldn't get in, I was gonna go train at Robert Gibson's. But I benefit more of training at the Nightmare Factory than Gibson. Not a knock on Gibson. Like, I love Gibson, but I benefit more from I
For
benefit
what you
more
want to
from,
do.
because Gibson, he has his own style. He's like super duper old school. So, he's gonna wrestle that style. The fundamentals are important when it comes to wrestling. But the difference between the Nightmare Factory and Gibson, they're gonna take the little piece of the fundamental and try to execute every aspect of fundamentals. Then take other fundamentals and combine that with what you bring to the table.
I got you.
And then combine safety into that. So you're keeping yourself safe, the other guy safe. Okay, your overall on fundamentals is over 9,000. And then you're combining that with what you bring to the table. Now, most of the people that's already wrestlers when they got there, they're just taking what they bring to the table, fundamentals, being entertaining and keeping people safe, and just executing on that. And then for the beginners, well, they're just doing beginner shit. First, they learn the fundamentals. Then they learn the importance of safety and the just the necessary steps before they get to where we get to. So I've been training at the Nightmare Factory since like August or September. It was sometime late summer, but I know I got here in July. The school was still closed due to COVID. And then as soon as they opened back up and I was communicating with Mike, he was like, "Hey, come in. We got to have a conversation." So we had a conversation. I paid my money, started training. And not only that, I can lift weights and train in ring at the same location. At
Right.
most places, you can only train. You can only just do in-ring shit.
Yeah.
And then you have to go pay a membership for a gym. So you gotta utilize your membership, and you gotta make sure it's 24/7. So you gotta go to the gym, then you gotta go to training, or you go to training first, then you go to the gym depending on your schedule. And it's like, that's hard for a lot of people. I know it was hard for me because I got to go two different directions. That was
Right.
before I moved to Georgia, when I was living in Alabama and I was like training with Ace and then I started training with Gibson. I got to go to the gym as soon as I get off work, because if I don't go to the gym when I get off work, I ain't going to go at all.
Right.
But I made a commitment that I'm going to go to training altogether. And I always wanted to go to train at those spots where I could train at least twice or three times out the week. Nightmare Factory, they training 4 or 5 days out the week. So if I'm there at least two or three times out the week, I'm good. I'll try to get there every day if possible. But those 2 or 3 days, they're beneficial. And with Glacier being a full-time trainer now and our styles being very similar, I'm getting a lot of time with him now. At first, he was QT trying to look out for everybody. But now he got Glacier helping him out. So now you got an extra trainer. Now, and in front of the looks of it, I'm thinking Luther is gonna start training with us more. And then we got another trainer, Luke. So that's four trainers. And even when QT is doing TV, you still got at least two of them there. You're gonna have Luke and Glacier. And like,
Glacier, man, look, he's super passionate about wrestling. So he ain't with the bullshit. That's what I like. He's not about that bullshit. We're gonna come in, we're gonna do some work, and then we're gonna go home. You're gonna improve. You know, if you fuck up, he ain't gonna yell at you about it. You know, he'll just tell you what you can do better and all that other shit. But if you come in with the bullshit, he gonna get off in your ass. Man. Other than that, if you fucking up, he gonna be on you. He ain't gonna be like on you like a strict ass parent, but he gonna be on you. Hey, you gotta fix this. You're still fucking up here. Yada 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 yada. But if you've been there for a minute and you fucking up and you on bullshit, he finna get off in your ass. And that's what I like. And that's what wrestling needs. Wrestling needs that one old school guy that can also evolve with the times while at the same time still keep his old school morals. There's a lot of new school shit that I look at that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And then that's when Glacier confirms, yeah, that's bullshit. There's a way of doing that and making that make sense. And it's like, oh, okay, we're on the same page. And with our styles being so similar, that's who I go to the most. You know, everybody wants the main trainer to look at them. But it's like, all the trainers matter. But with my style, you know, I make sure I'm always side by side with Glacier. So I don't know how long he's been there. I want to say he's been there since the start. But with him being a more permanent figure there now, that's going to help. I know it's going to help me. It's going to help a lot of people. And, you know, even if I just so happen to don't get a contract, I don't get a TV job, at least I could get to a point where I'm a solid worker, but then I could help the next person. And just in case if I don't make it, maybe I'm the person that helps the next person make it. Because sometimes that's how life plays out. Sometimes you're that piece for the next person to get to the finish line.
Yeah. I told a friend of mine the exact same thing when it comes to, like, this podcast and then the big project that I'm doing. I told her, I said, you know, I'm planning on doing everything. But even if I don't, as long as the next person comes up behind me and is able to take it further than I took it, then I did what I was supposed to do. As long as somebody can come up and take the ball and run with it and go even further than where I went, I'm good. I did what I was supposed to do. That's so crazy to hear that you're training there, man. Like, that warmed my heart up. I'm so proud of you for that. Like, you training there, and Silva now at OVW, and like, I know a couple of other guys are making a couple of other moves. I don't know if they want to say it or not, so I'm not going to say it. But, you know, just to watch y'all make these moves, and this is what I talk about. This is what I love, because I see that y'all care. I see that y'all are taking the shit serious. And I see too many wrestlers who don't take it seriously. They're not trying to really, you know what I'm saying, get to where they could get and learn all that they could learn. It's really just a matter of you sometimes, like, I don't know about your situation in particular, but I know with a few people, sometimes you just got to actually just take that leap of faith and be like, well, fuck it, I'm going to try. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to go to the Nightmare Factory or WWA4. I've heard, you know, some rumblings going on there. You know, like, Skrilla just signed up there. And we had that conversation, and he told me, you know what I'm saying, he was ready to take it more seriously. So that's why he went to A4. You going to Nightmare Factory. Silva going to OVW. That's a beautiful thing to see, man. I'm so damn proud of all of y'all, bro. I'm just so damn proud of y'all. I'm so damn proud of all of y'all for doing what y'all are doing.
I appreciate that, man. Hey, before the Nightmare Factory got here, at one point in time, I was thinking about moving to Houston and training at Booker T spot.
Yeah, that not a bad place.
That was really almost a plan. Either them or the Dudleys. That was really almost
down
a plan.
Down in Florida,
That was really almost a plan. Because it's like, yeah, I get some training with Ace. But I remember hearing Jimmy Rave, you know, before he started fighting his demons. He was like, don't be afraid to train with other people. In order to evolve, you have to train with other people. Yes, train where you at now, but
train with other people, you know, get different views, learn different styles, all this other stuff. And it was like, okay, well, I'm either going to save up money and go to Texas or go to Florida and at least, you know, train at one of these schools to show, not only show that I'm serious about the craft, but serious that I want to get to that next level. Because it's like, like you, I know a lot of people that just bullshit with this, and it pisses me off. It pisses me off because that's the people that's getting booked the most, and I don't understand it. The people that's getting booked the most is the people that bullshit with this thing. And it's like, I don't understand it. Like, what value do you see out of somebody bullshitting a craft over somebody that's legit putting in work, you know, going to training and attending seminars and studying film and all this other good stuff? Like, I just don't understand it. There's been a lot of times where I will send a resume to certain promoters, but then I turn around and see them book somebody that I know that doesn't take it seriously. And then they go to their show, and then they bullshit, and then they bullshit everywhere else. And they continue to bullshit all around. I just don't understand it. And then what makes it worse is the dudes, if the dudes don't get booked, if they got some type of money, they just going to buy a ring, buy a couple of their friends, find a cheap-ass building to rent, and run their own show. And now it's a show full of bullshit. I seen it happen. Yeah. I seen it happen. I ain't going to call no names. But just in case if he's listening, he know who he is, and he's going to catch these ones when I see him. Not at a wrestling venue, though. He's going to catch these ones one day. But I seen it. He used to wrestle at Pro South, and it wasn't like the dude was getting booked bad, but all of a sudden, he just woke up one random day, got some money, got a ring, and started running the show down the fucking street, like one or two cities down. And then he started booking the same talent from the show. And the talent that he was booking, a couple of them took it seriously, and the rest of them bullshitted. And it just didn't make any sense. And then he started trying to sabotage what we were trying to build at Pro South. It just didn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense how we have people in wrestling like this. Like, how do you go from being a fan to being inspired to getting to the fact that once we get in, we start doing shit where it seems like we despise what we love? How do we love wrestling, but then do some snake-ass shit, like start a show, and then just book a bunch of people that bullshit, and you also bullshit? I don't get it. I was a fan. I was a WWE fan. I was inspired by Booker T. Then I wanted to do it. Then I seen how serious it was. But I played football for like 4 or 5 years, and that was a serious thing. So I took the same seriousness from football and brought that to wrestling. Why is it that we can't get that same energy from everybody? Like, let's all get better. Let's all lead the business better than the way that we found it.
I think it's because a lot of people don't even treat it like a business. You know, I mentioned with Skrilla when I talked to him, there's a lot of people in the business who don't actually know how to be business people. And they don't take it seriously enough to really have their own business and have their own promotions or, you know, go here or go there. Like, I spend all my time trying to learn. You know what I'm saying? Even with the big project, like, I have people in place that I'm learning from. I'm watching them. I'm getting advice from them. I'm asking them all the time, you know, well, what about this? What about that? You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, it's too many people in this business who don't even treat it as a business. It's just a hobby for them. But yeah, like that's you said, what it those is. Are the people who get put on the easiest. They, you know, they get all these bookings and they get all these places because they treat it as a hobby, but you know, they may, it may be nepotism, they're related to somebody, or they know they have a certain friend, or, you know what I mean? Like, they, but
yeah,
it's people like you and like Silva and like Skrilla, who I can look at, and y'all are taking it seriously to the point where y'all have now relocated. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have moved from your home, or where, you know, wherever you're known to be at, you moved in order to set yourself up for a better outcome by training up under all these people who, let's be real, can get you contracts. You know what I'm saying? Those three places, OVW, Nightmare Factory, and WWA 4, are straight lines to a lot of major companies. You know what I'm saying? Booker T, that's right. A WWE Hall of Famer. Of course you're going to get a look working up under Booker T. You know what I'm saying? Same for the Dudley Boys. You're going to get a look somewhere working up under them, with Devon being a producer and Bubba being, you know, in Ring of Honor. You're going to get more looks. So I think that's what I try to tell people all the time. Like, you say you want more. Okay, are you willing to do more? Are you willing to relocate to Atlanta or Florida or Georgia, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you willing to go these places to see these people and shake these hands and tell people you're serious and you want to do these things? I don't think a lot of people are. That's why I'm so proud of y'all for doing it. Because I don't think a lot of people got it in them to really, you know what I'm saying, to make that move and whatnot. Because I'll tell you, when I was thinking about, you know what I'm saying, being a wrestler, it's still not out of the realm of possibility. But when I was thinking about it, every place that you just named was a place that I was thinking about. WWA 4, maybe I need to move to Houston to work up under Booker T. Maybe I need to go to Florida to work up under the Dudley. Like, I thought about all these same places. So, it's...
Now you got Dr. Pritchard in Knoxville.
Right there in Knoxville, yep.
And didn't Jazz and Rodney Matt just open a school not too
yep. long ago? They just opened up a school in San Antonio. So, it's... You know what I'm saying? It's that... You got to be willing to step outside of your comfort zone. And I don't think a lot of people are willing to step outside of their comfort zones to do stuff. And that, you know, unfortunately, that means a whole lot of good talent is going to go to waste because they just too scared to move and scared to do something.
Yeah, and then they get in our way of, like, trying to, like, do stuff and get looked at and make any type of accomplishments. Or, like, a lot of people... Like me, for example, I go to training, but then I try to use shows to see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's like you got all these non-serious folks, they just in the way, and they just want to just come and bullshit. And like, man, it just pisses me off. Because it's irritating. And then, because like you said, they treat it like a hobby. Then they turn around to get money and start their own show. But then when you get off in their face about it, like, and let them know, hey, you're fucking ruining wrestling, then they go, well, I got a life outside of here, so I really don't care that much. And it's like, man, like
and that's the craziest part, because, yeah, you got a life outside of this, but for some people, this is their life. This is what they want to do with their life. So that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are hurting it. In that sense, because you're not serious about doing anything with it. You just, even as a promoter, I've seen some people, even as promoters, even as bookers, it's just a hobby to them. They don't take it seriously enough to really put in any kind of effort. I'm telling you, I've talked to and worked with a lot of smaller promoters. I'm just trying to tell them, hey, this is what you can do to up your game as far as your promotion goes. This, even if it's just invest in having flyers made. You know what I'm saying? Film your matches. Start a YouTube channel. It's totally free. Stuff like that. But, you know, if somebody don't take it seriously, you can't force them to take it seriously. All you can do is stand on your own, stand in your own seriousness, and try to be as serious as you can possibly be. and hope that the serious people, you know what I'm saying, will come around you. The people who know about my big project, the big thing that I'm doing, are only people that I know are serious about being a part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's only a few people. I think if you put two and two together, you know exactly what the hell I'm doing. But as far as like
exactly what you're talking about.
But as far as like
the inner, I can't wait for that big project to take off either.
As far as like the inner workings of it, like I've already got some stuff done and planned and kind of ready to go. As far as the inner workings, that circle is very small. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't need a bunch of people who are not serious and not actually trying to build something good to be involved in anything that I got going on. So, and that's, like I said, man, to hear that that's where you're training. Like I said, I knew that you had moved, but I didn't know where you had moved, and I didn't know that you were doing that. I just knew that you had moved. So.
Oh, yeah. I was quiet about it. It's like a lot of people knew I was moved. Well, see, I moved twice. So that's what threw people off. See, first I moved to Birmingham. So some people knew about, a lot of people knew about that. Some people didn't. But then when I moved the second time, and so when people heard, oh, damn, B-Watt moves, they probably was just thinking, oh, well, that's from when he moved to Birmingham. Like, I was quiet about moving to Douglasville. I only told a select few, and I didn't want to go on Facebook and go, yep, training at the Nightmare Factory. No. If I pop up on AEW Dark and you didn't know I was at the Nightmare Factory, I don't want that to hit you by surprise.
The thing that I always tell people about this business, you know, eventually the bad seeds always show themselves and they weed themselves out. It's just a matter of, we got to have enough people who care about it and who actually want to do something, step up and start doing stuff. Because if we talking about the same people, yeah, me and this person, me and these people, we got some issues that's been brewing for a couple years now. So hearing that I'm doing something kind of threw them off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, my focus ain't on the people that ain't wanting to work and ain't really wanting to do anything. My focus is on putting y'all on whatever platform I can get y'all on and just making the most out of that. That's my goal.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Like, I wish we had gatekeepers in wrestling, but it is what it is. We ain't got none. But like you said, the bad seeds eventually will see themselves out.
We got gatekeepers. The problem just is that a lot of the gatekeepers are those bad seeds. They're people who should not have, I think, should not be in a position to dictate whether somebody does or does not succeed.
Oh shit, I didn't even know we even had gatekeepers.
No, they're real quiet. But see, that's the thing about me. That's why I'm usually so quiet about certain stuff, because I just pay attention. Who's running what? Who's making what decision? Who's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I probably know more than I should, honestly. The Illuminati's probably going to knock at my door. I'm probably going to get some Men in Black here soon knocking on my door like, how do you know all that you know? I know more than people think I know. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I'm to the point now, moving into 2021, and then having this group of guys, you know, that I care about, and a lot of y'all I know have my back as well. I'm focused on us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm focused on us getting to where we want to be. I'm not concerned with whoever thinks that they're, you know, what it. I could say something, but damn it, it's right there on me to say. But I don't want to say it, because, again, I'm going to forget to edit it out, and then it's going to start a bunch of shit. I'll say it to you, you know, when we get off here, and I'll just message, and we'll see what's what. But, you know, yes, as far as me, as far as the big project goes, it's happening. I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm really excited for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, 2021 is set up for so many of y'all to just do some major things, and a lot of that is strictly because y'all put yourselves in that position. Y'all decided to make a move. Y'all decided to reach out. Y'all decided to pay that money, or you know what have you. So it's big for me, you know, to talk to guys like you and Skrilla, and I'm getting Towers on the show soon, and me and Silva done talked. I got to talk to Trevor about some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like it's good to me to talk to you guys about all this stuff. And genuinely, I'm going to tell you, like I said to Skrilla, like I say to everybody, man, thank you. Thank you so much for just allowing me to even play a small part in this big story that you got coming.
Oh, man. Hey, man, just thank you just for being a part of it. Because it's like I said, when it comes to wrestling and the seriousness of people that's actually going to be serious about it, that's what matters. That's what matters. It's like the heart and the determination of like everybody that wants wrestling as a whole to succeed. That's one of the big reasons why people look at Pro South the way that they look at it now. Like 2-3 years ago, a lot of people didn't want nothing to do with Pro South because, you know, it's not the cool kids on the block. But it's like, eventually, we got those bad seeds out. We got the fucking cancers out, thank God. And, you know, then we got some team players. Then we got some vets. You know, when it became like a team effort, almost like it was football like.
Yeah.
Almost football like. Once it got to that point, I was like, oh yeah, we finna do some damage. We better do some damage. Because all that negative shit and the cancer shit in wrestling, like, man, it's been a few times I had thought about quitting.
You and me both. And you've been in it longer than I have. I've only been in it for 2 years. But there have been so many times just because I've heard some shit or, I've been in a room and just got the vibe was completely off. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to let them do them. I'm going to let them have whatever they want. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the energy to fight that shit no more. All my energy is going towards how can I make an even bigger platform to have Brandon get put on, to have Luther get put on, to have Skrilla and Towers and Black and Aeon and Silva and Alex Kane, and what can I do? Averson, how can I get the Cassandra Golden, Ruthless Lala? How can I get these people in a better position? How can I do that? You see what I'm saying?
Julius Pryor, he's another one of those people that a lot of people don't pay attention to.
I want to say the first time I found out who you were was through you tagging with him. I want to say that was one of the first matches that I seen was you and him in a tag match. And that's how I kind of discovered who Brandon Watley and who, you know what I'm saying? So
that's one of our matches from New Era Wrestling.
I want to say I just happened upon a New Era show on YouTube. And I remember seeing you and him tag teaming. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I really... And again, that's just all the names that I listed, man. You, Silva, Towers, Aaron Black, Luther X, Trevor Eon, Julius, Ruthless Lala, Cassandra... Like, all of y'all are so different. All of y'all are so different. And that's why it blows my mind that y'all aren't much bigger names. And y'all aren't... You know what I'm saying? On even bigger platforms. Because, again, I go back to it because I really mean it when I ask. No black people? There wasn't one black person you could have called to get on this show? Man. There wasn't no... And even then, like, you know, even if we're not talking about wrestlers. And this ain't to put nothing out there. Before anybody hears this and thinks that I'm shooting my shot at anything, I'm not. I'm perfectly fine just doing this podcast. But, you know, ring announcers, you got me and Tevin sitting up here. We've proven that we can ring announce. We've proven that we can host shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Right.
It just that kind of shit. There's too many good black talent. There's too many good Hispanic talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's too many good women. There's too many good LGBT people. There's no excuse at this point. But since since everyone's gonna make an excuse, that's fine. I'll let them go ahead, make their excuses. They can have what they have and they can keep what they want. But I'm gonna make sure to do what's best for me and ultimately what's best for the people around me, if I can help it. Now, the way things are going, by the time this big project get, you know what I'm saying, where I need it to be, all you motherfuckers gonna be signed. So I don't know how it's gonna work out, but regardless of that, again, like, I'm so proud. I'm so damn proud of you for making that big move and making that big step and doing what you're doing now, because it's genuinely, you, Skrilla, Silva, Towers, all y'all, like, I don't know if y'all understand how much y'all are motivating me to make some different decisions, you know what I'm saying, and start going for things that I really secretly been wanting to go for, but I've been scared, or I've been kind of hesitant. Oh, I'm in Huntsville, it ain't, you know what I'm saying, but sometimes you just got to make that move, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
sometimes you got to make, because I kid you not, before I made this move to Georgia, dude, at one point in time, I was afraid to make this move. I've been trying to wait till, like, the perfect time or the right time or some other shit or something would get in the way. But I did know that I did want to go to a better wrestling school so I could better myself and at least have some type of chance of getting a contract. At one point in time, I tried to commute from Alabama to the Nightmare Factory. This one, it was still one fall before QT starts teaming up with Cody.
Yeah.
But it was just too much between that drive. Not sure if I was going to have the right amount of money to pay my fee. Shoot, my work schedule. Shoot, it was going to be hard. When Donnie Primetime comes to training more than once a week, I be wondering, sometimes I wonder, like, bro, how the fuck does he do that? Because it's like, he's driving over 2 hours to come to training.
Right.
You know, he might not do it, he ain't going to do it more than twice a week, but it's like when he just comes, and then he'll bring a carload with him too. He'll bring Daniel Perez, he'll bring Adam Priest, and I'm like, okay, I can understand Perez. Nope, because he lives kind of far out too. But Priest, what the hell? Because Priest still lives in Alabama. Matter of fact, Priest don't stay that far from Huntsville.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And there have been times where, you know, like, especially like with marking out, you know what I'm saying? Me and Tevin, we've wanted to go to Atlanta, but we just can't make that make sense. You know what I'm saying? But now, with me doing this by myself, it's like, Jordan, you know you want better. You know what you want to do. You got this trajectory in mind. You see yourself doing certain stuff in the business. At some point, you're going to have to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? Are you going to get out there and go where you need to go and make that happen? Or you just going to stay here? So, I'll put it to you like this. It's been some thoughts in my head and some decisions that's got to be made. But don't be surprised if I show up somewhere near you real soon. Don't be surprised if I show up right outside of Atlanta ready to work and ready to do some stuff.
Oh, no, I won't be surprised, because ever since COVID hit the scene, a lot of people... And, like, COVID, even though a lot of people hate how COVID shut a lot of shit down, COVID
COVID has also been a good thing at the same time, because there's been a lot of people that's like not been serious about wrestling. They stop because now they're scared of quote unquote getting sick. But yet you got people like Hold My Beer Hansen and his homeboys, Sudden Strong Style. They're like, oh shit, people stop wrestling. Oh, hey, there's more spots for us now. Right. Now you see them popping up all over the place.
Hold My Beer Hansen just debuted, I want to say, at Southern Honor, and I just discovered that dude has been wrestling for less than 2 years.
Right, like, I just met the dude this year. I thought he was a rookie.
Yeah, like, I thought he had just started this year, and he had already been wrestling, but, you know, and that's, again, that's the thing. That's why I told you, you know what I'm saying, I'm not worried about it. They're gonna weed themselves out. The weak ones and the people who really have no business being in this business, they're gonna weed themselves out. Slowly but surely. It's gonna be something or somebody who's going to eventually put them on their ass and make sure that they understand, okay, this ain't for you. Like I said, I'm making some decisions, about to make some moves. I've always wanted to be in Atlanta anyway, because, you know, outside of wrestling, I'm an actor and all that. So, but because I have this certain idea of what I want to do in the business, it's only a matter of time. I'll just put it like that. It's only a matter of time before I'm not in Huntsville anymore. Yeah. And I'm out here doing some other shit that people may not expect me to do, but if this year, if COVID, especially because you know how hard it hit me and my family, my mom almost losing her life because of it and all that.
Yeah.
This year has really said to me, Jordan, life ain't guaranteed. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. So if you got something you want to do, you got to go do it. Just do it. Even if you don't succeed, even if you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's on your heart, if it's on your spirit to do it, man, get up and go do it. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I got next year. I got, because there's a lot of people who have plans for next year who ain't going to see next year now. So,
or they ain't even here right now.
Yeah. Like, we done lost over 300,000 people just from COVID alone. That's not mentioning everything else. Just COVID alone, over 300,000 people in less than a year. All them people, most of them people had plans. You know what I'm saying? They had shit that they want to do. I see stories all day long about how, oh, this person was going to get married next year, or this person would, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wanted to have kids, or they just got their dream job, or they had just come home from college or something like that. So it's like, you know, that's one thing, and I hope when people listen to this interview, like I said, I'm going to have to cut a lot out, but I hope when people hear this interview, the edited version and the full version eventually, I hope that people listen to that you went there to do that. You moved to do what you did, to do what you're doing. I hope that people listen to that and really take that, like, pay attention to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to do it, I'm going to have to do it. I can't be playing with it. I can't be second guessing myself. If I'm going to do it, I got to do it. Cause I'm telling you, just watching all of y'all like, I consider all of y'all my big brothers in this business, you know, cause all y'all been in this business so much longer than I have. So watching my big brothers in this business, man, and seeing the moves that y'all are making, even after years of being in it, it tells me, okay, Jordan, you can relax. You have time, but at the same time, don't waste your time. That's what watching y'all is really proving to me, man. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see whatever you got coming. Because that, like I said, I didn't even know that you had moved for that reason. So knowing that you moved for that reason, knowing what I know about that particular school and all of that, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time for you. It's only a matter of time for everybody else. All my brothers, man, I'm so excited for all of y'all, bro.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, man. I'm excited too, because they ain't no telling what's gonna pop off this new year. especially the way that, yeah, and especially the way that, like, especially the way that, like, wrestling came to a close. Yeah. Not this past weekend, because shit really didn't happen this past weekend. But, like, last weekend with Pro South, like, me and Towers getting, like, the top two belts. It's like, when I got the All Out belt, I felt appreciation for my work. Towers looked at it completely different. Like, he looked at it from, like, five different angles. I was like, finally, I'm, like, being appreciated for my work, because usually it's show up and help this guy out, or show up and help this dude look good, or show up and do this, and yada, 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 yada. And at the same time, I knew how nobody appreciated Cam.
Yeah.
Cam was not appreciated. Cam just wanted to just find somewhere, get better, and just love wrestling. Just love wrestling and get better. But this man was not appreciated, and the shit that he had to deal with, like, I thought I had to deal with some shit, but the shit that he had to deal with damn near made me want to fight people. So once I had heard the plan of, hey, you're going to get the All Out belt, and I'm like, well, the All Out champion is Cam, how are we going to get there? Then once the plan was laid out on how we was going to get there, and I was like, all right, we just going to fucking kill it. I know at one point in time, it was one time, me and Cam, we got a match in 5 minutes, but we're already coming up with ideas for next week. Right. And then the fucking anniversary show. Like, shit that you seen in the anniversary show was like ideas we came up with 5 weeks ago. Like, it was random as fuck. Like, we just went, like, that first match, we just went and had it. We had no plan for that shit. Then the second match, we actually had a plan. But then we was like, damn, we ain't get a chance to do this. We're going to do this in the anniversary show. Then we're going to replay back to this. Then we're going to do this, and this. And it's like, my plan was, yo, I just want to just steal the show. And I want to steal the show with Cam. Since I'm with Cam, and nobody appreciates Cam, except Pro South, we're going to go out here and we're going to steal this fucking show. And for, like, the hating ass people that's watching, they going to watch us steal this fucking show. They going to watch us steal this show. Because it was like, I felt like I was underappreciated. Cam knew he wasn't appreciated. And it was bullshit that Pro South, that we had to go to Pro South. Well, even though I started there, that we had to go to Pro South and fucking take this match that we could have had anywhere else, but nobody was really going to give us a chance, let alone him, and fucking steal this show with this stacked ass card that we had. First, you had fucking Towers and Trevor and Silva in a triple threat. What the fuck? Once right. I knew we had to compete with that shit, I'm like, nah, fuck that. We gotta steal this shit. Then I was like, wait a minute, Tyler ain't got a match that night. But his match wasn't announced, so I was like, oh shit. That means the winner of that is gonna have to wrestle Tyler.
So now you got a whole another, yeah, like you got a whole another match to compete against. Yep.
Yeah, so that's two bangers. So I'm like, nah, fuck that. Everybody invested in that. You know, you got Hook and Joe. Those are the tag champs.
They're going to do what the fuck they do, because they always do it.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the fact that you got both of them at the same time and you trying to do some shit, like, they gonna do some shit. So I'm like, nah, me and Cam, we finna go steal this fucking show. Like, at least that's what I had in mind. I'm pretty sure Cam, he wanted to steal the show anyway. Because by all means, like, just like how I was excited for it, he was excited for it. But in my mind, I'm like, I know how hard this dude worked for the past year and a half, 2 years. The shit he had to deal with. Because we had to deal with some similar shit. But the shit that he had to deal with, the friends that you had starting out with turned into the very thing that they hated, that you already hated, and then the bullshit you had to deal with, everything else, oh, nah, fuck that. We finna go out here and we finna kill it, and we finna make all they ass regret it, in the words of Kevin Heights, make them regret. I miss that dude, by the way.
I think y'all did that. I can't remember what I said because I talked about it. Like, that show was not this past Friday, but last Friday. And I think I recorded that part of the show that Saturday. So it's been over a week since I talked about it. But that show just came out today. So, you know, when you go listen to it, if you go listen to it, you'll hear me talking about, I distinctly remember talking about y'all's match. And a lot of the shit that I've said to you now, I remember saying it then. So, but I ain't look.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to go listen to it.
I ain't going to hold you no more because life is happening over here. You already know I could talk to you forever if I could. And we're definitely going, now that I know what some of the moves you done made, we're going to have to talk again at some point. It'll probably be after some good shit happened. But we're going to talk again. Thank you, man. Thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it, bro.
But yeah, thanks for having me, man. I highly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit you up, man. I'm gonna hit you up. I'm gonna get all this done. I'm gonna hit you up and we're gonna talk.
All right, definitely.
All right, thank you, bro.
All right, thanks, man.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the third and final part of my interview with Brandon Whatley. Brandon is always a good conversation, man, and I'm so glad that he and I got to talk and got to talk for as long as we did. As you guys have heard, we talked about a bunch of stuff and it was all good shit. I really hope that you guys listened to the things that we said, took something from it, and felt encouraged at the end of it. You know what I mean? This year, we're now in, I'm recording this on the first day of the year. So we are officially in 2021 and it feels good. It feels like things are gonna happen. It feels like a bunch of good shit is on the way. Thank you guys so very much for listening to this. Thank you guys so very much for all of your support with starting this thing in 2020, that hellish year. Thank you guys for your continued support here in 2021. It's only up from here, man. I can't wait for you guys to hear about some of the stuff that I got coming, some of the things that I'm working on. It's going to be a big, big year, and I'm excited for all of it. Again, big shout out to my guy, Brandon Whatley. Make sure you follow the podcast wherever you are currently listening to it. All you have to do is hit follow or subscribe, depending on where you're listening to it. Make sure you're following me on social media at Mr. Jordan McClain on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you check the show notes because Brandon's information is down there as well. My name is Jordan McClain. I love you guys so much, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it.